today, and thank you so much that we are so filled with joy, Lord, as we, Lord, make melodies in our hearts, as we shout, as we dance, Lord, as we clap, that, Lord, you fill us with your joy. And that joy is because we belong to you, and Lord, that we are forgiven and we are cleansed. And Lord, we'll be out of this place in a better place, a perfect place very soon. So we are so thankful again, Lord, for allowing us to gather here, Lord, to open up your word. Father, we also open up our hearts to hear from you, Lord, to receive your teaching, to receive instruction, Lord, to receive healing, Lord, to receive strength, Jesus, Lord. So we ask that you heal us, that you teach us, that you strengthen us, that you comfort us, Lord, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're told in Acts chapter 2, last week, verse 43, that there were many signs and wonders among the believers there in Jerusalem just after Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 3, we see one of those happening. In the first 10 verses, we see physical healing. And then from verses 11 to 26, Peter calls the Jews to spiritual healing. Let's read together the first 10 verses, story of this man. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement and at what had happened to him. So we see another miracle happening here, another sign, another wonder being performed among these early believers and among the Jews who are there getting into the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock. Now, the lame man simply wanted some silver and gold, right? But God had a different plan altogether. His expectations of silver and gold did not come to pass, but he got something that he never thought he would receive. You know, my wife told me a story of, I think it was in Mbale town, and there was this destitute lady who was by the street, and they stopped by, and she pulled out a 500 shilling coin to give her. And the lady went, "Ezontono nyo njagala lukumi." That was too little, I want 1,000. Everybody had seen this guy helpless, couldn't do anything for himself, and he needed help. It was a genuine need. He needed help. And he looks at Peter, of course, thinking, "Oh, these guys will help me. They'll help me." And he looked at them expecting to get some silver and gold. And looks like Peter could not avoid them. You know, there's an eye contact there. "Hey, I'm needing your help here. Please give me something." Their eyes meet. And Peter says, "We don't have anything to give you. We don't have any silver and gold." And looks like at that time, this man is really disappointed. He must have said, "Okay, you move on if you don't have silver and gold. You go. Go to the temple. Let me wait for the next person." "Silver and gold, we don't have. But what we have, we will give you." This man's attitude is changing from thinking, "Oh, you don't have silver and gold. Okay, you go." And then he's like, "Oh, you have something else to give me? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." At this moment, Peter is given by the Lord the gift of faith and the gift of healing for the moment. And God tells Peter that, you know what, that I want to heal that man today. Just pick him up and raise him. And it so happens, Peter stretches out his hand, gets the man up, and he jumps around with them, praising God. Gets into the temple. He forgot about the money, the silver and gold that he wanted. The man could have said, okay, now you've helped me, you've healed me, great. Let me stand. Previously I couldn't stand, but now I can stand. Let me just stay here and ask help from others. He doesn't do that. He first gets attached to this group of believers, Peter and John, probably others as well, into the temple, and he goes around jumping, leaping, and praising God. It's a story of this man being disappointed by men, the Peters and the Johns, but does not get disappointed by God. God had a better plan. The man is healed of his disability. He walks into the temple. Now, previously, he could not. It is said that he was always carried to the beautiful gate. Now, from the description of the temple, by the way, this was beautiful, so it looks like it was just named by its description. So just a beautiful gate. He was always carried in. He couldn't even crawl. He was carried there. He regains his health. And this is his first time entering into the temple. Jumping, just like some of us were jumping earlier on in our worship. His legs had gained strength, maybe danced a little bit of calypso and rejoiced having been healed. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, quoting Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." This man right here is liberated from his disability as Jesus heals him. This man is freed from his bondage to disability. Now, it's interesting that this was the very temple that Jesus had walked in so many times. He had taught there so many times. And looks like he just passed this man by all through his life. He was in the temple since he was 8, since he was a boy. And Jesus did not himself heal this man, well knowing that he wanted to use Peter and John in time. You see, God's timing is as important as his plan. There are things that God does, and he does them at the time that he wants to do them. He would choose Peter to give this man health. Now, we can all, for some, testify of God's healing. I remember a few years ago, probably many years ago, I had a terrible stomach disorder that defied all medication, and all I could do is pray. And one morning it was gone. I think it lasted for a month. And maybe some of us can testify of how God healed you, and he still does heal people in our day. However, there are those who teach that God wants to heal everyone of all diseases and all disorders and all disability, and that's not true. God does it when he wants to. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, in verses 7-10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said that he had something, a disorder or a disability or a disease that bothered him, and three times he pleaded with the Lord, "Lord, please take this away from me." And God told him, no. You can open there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7-10. "And lest I should be exalted beyond measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted beyond measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weaknesses.'" And Paul says, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." On this day, this man got healed after 40 years. For others, I'm sure there were lots of others left unhealed. And it's just because God wants them that way, like Paul. And maybe some of us have quite a bit of disorders. I'm actually short-sighted. That's why I put on this. And God says, you know what? I wear those specs. It's fine. You'll be okay. That's my way to humble you, like Paul says. Lest rather, Paul would be tempted to pride. God is like, I'm going to give you something that will humble you. So some of us still have to live with some disorders and some diseases. And it's just God's way of, like Paul says, just humbling us. And he says, even in your weakness, even in your disability, I want to show myself as strong. I'll comfort you. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength will be enough to carry on through whatever difficult time it is. I am with you, he says. Because you know what? God cares more about our spiritual healing than he cares about our physical, because we can all get healed, but we will eventually die. This body will finally go back to the earth. It's our spirit that matters. And on this day, this guy is healed. He's happy. He's praising God. He's rejoicing. And then there is a crowd that gathers. You know that when something like that happens, there is an automatic crowd. Verses 11 to 26. Now as the layman who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. He said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like one from your brethren, him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these things. You are the sons of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from your iniquity. Long sermon. It all starts out with the healing of this man. Then everybody knew this man had been there for 40 years, a number of years, and the crowd gathers. If any of you remembers Pastor Dan Morris, he pastors church in Wabgali, who was here on Wednesday night, and he's a funny guy, you know, but he said that if this happened at Calvary, all of us would be making calls, right? Please come to Calvary. It's the church to be this. There's healing here. And if the next Sunday, everyone from this city will be coming to this church, right? This is what happens. Everybody's like, we know this man. What happened? An automatic crowd there. And Peter says, you know what? Why are you surprised? Why are you even surprised that this man is healed? And he explains that the healing is not because of their own power or godliness, but because Jesus wanted to do it, and he did it. The power of Jesus and his will. And he explained to them how that they were responsible for rejecting him, for falsely accusing him before Pilate, even when Pilate was going to free him. They demanded for a murderer instead. They demanded for his execution, and he says, fine, you did it in ignorance, that's fine. You filled prophecy, though. He says, this Jesus God raised from the dead, we are all witnesses. In verse 16, and in his name, through faith in his name, verse 16, he has made this man strong. And in him, this man has received perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, there is a greater miracle that is happening here. Don't you see the boldness of Peter? Chapter 2 and chapter 3. He was previously a coward. Previously had quit this Jesus following thing and had gone fishing. This is a man now filled with the Holy Spirit. And tell you what, he's preaching boldly. Now, this was dangerous, as we're going to see. This is going to spark persecution. They were prohibited later on. We'll see next week that they should not preach in the name of Jesus at all. And they're going to get in trouble with the religious authorities. But he tells them, you should not be surprised. Well, it has been probably over two months, when they last saw a miracle, when Jesus was still with them. And he's telling them, why are you even surprised that this happens? Right? This is Jesus continuing his work through us. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he had initially given them authority to go heal the sick. He said, go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. Peter was like, this is just Jesus continuing his work through us. Don't be surprised. Right? If something like that happened here, wouldn't we be surprised? All of us would be like, wow, we didn't expect that. But tell you what, we should anticipate miracles to happen. Because Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He chooses to do something amazing like this, he will do it. And we'll be like, wow, Jesus decided to do it today. Amen. Praise the Lord like this, man. Not just to be awed by the miracle, but awed by the miracle worker, Jesus Christ. And Peter does not even preach about the miracle. He does not, like many gifted in this way, do today. The guy is brought on stage, run around, how old are you, where do you come from, for how long have you suffered this? And some of them, you know, give an impression that the healing happens because they are the ones who are very close to the Lord, they are the spiritual ones, they have special access to God, and they are so godly, and God chooses them, they are very special. And Peter is like, none of those. It's not us. It's not our prayers. Peter did not even pray for the guy, can you imagine? Did not say, okay, let's bow and pray for your healing. No. God just uses him to pick the guy up, and his legs are straightened up, and the guy is up and jumping. It's not our prayers. It's not because this guy sowed a seed of a miracle into Peter International Ministries. No. It's because God wanted to do it. Or how we need to know that it's not about anything in us or our giftings. It's just because Jesus chooses to do what he chooses to do. Peter does not take credit. And Peter could have taken credit. Like, man, you remember I was the very closest to Jesus. You know, he's doing this because I'm so close to him. I knew him. I was there at the ascension. Whatever. No, that does not count. It's because Jesus wanted to do it, and that's it. Peter emphasizes the miracle worker, not the miracle. He does not take credit. He gives God the credit. It's Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 7, Paul writing to this church, he says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light, the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may not be of us, but of God. Peter says what Paul had written to the Corinthians is like, we're not preaching ourselves that we are the most important or God uses us in a special way. It's like we're just servants. We're here to serve you on Christ's behalf because it's God who made everything. It's God who shone his light of salvation and knowledge into our hearts. And he says, we have this treasure. We have this privilege. We have this opportunity in clay vessels, in clay cups and plates. Now, you know that the clay does not take credit for what the potter is doing. The clay is basically in the hands of the potter, and he uses it as he wills. And that's the treasure we have, as Paul writes to this church. And we have those privileges, right? Gifts and abilities and skills that God has given us just to serve others. And we are just clay, right? You sink this, cut a piece of yourself and put it in the soil till it rot and become part of the soil. That's just it. But in this clay, God has given us treasures of his gifts and his power and his authority that we're able to do all this. That the credit may go to him, not to us. And Peter calls this Jewish crowd to repent. He says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. They were guilty. Remember, he had said earlier that you did it in ignorance, right? Have you ever committed a crime that you did not know of? And the police tell you, you know what? Ignorance is not defense, right? He tells them, ignorance is not innocence. You are guilty. You killed the Prince of Life. Your hands are bloody. You're responsible for his death. And he tells them, don't worry, there's a way out. It's called repentance. He tells them that they may be forgiven, converted, and that the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord may come, and that Jesus may return. He tells them that God may send Jesus Christ, his second coming, right? It's interesting how Peter tells them that if you repent right now, actually, Jesus is going to come again, his second coming, and we'll be out of this place. He tells them the times of refreshing, tells them survive God's wrath because it's coming as the prophets predicted, that God is going to destroy anybody, denies him. The times of the refreshing, the indwelling of the Spirit, repent that God may fill you with his Spirit. The times of refreshing would refer to eventually spending eternity with God, all their life in perfection with God. We use that phrase and you probably hear it so often in our day. Good life, right? Peter tells them, repent and have a good life and live a good life. Peter assures them that they were experiencing the fulfillment of prophecy, that the Messiah would come as a man, quoting there. In verse 22 from Deuteronomy chapter 18, remember, Moses had prophesied that a prophet would come as a man, and he's telling them Jesus came as a man just as God had promised. And he tells them, you are actually the beneficiaries of his coming. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, in you all nations, in your seed, all nations will be blessed. He's telling them, your blessing is here, and you don't even want to take it. It's like, repent and have your blessing. Point is, Peter is telling them, just as the crippled man needed physical healing, you need a different kind of healing. You need to be healed from your sins. He's telling them, you have a different disability. This disability of the wicked heart. So they needed different kind of healing, spiritual healing. Healing from sin, healing from guilt, healing from anger, healing from bitterness, from unforgiveness, from failures, healing from the old nature. He tells them, be healed and get a new life. Be healed from your guilt, that your sins may be forgiven. Be healed from your anger. You angrily killed Jesus. Be healed from your bloody hands. Be healed from your wicked heart. We may not be physically crippled. We may not have any disorder in our bodies. We may all look good on a Sunday or every day of the week. You know where the problem is? Right here, in the heart and in our minds. is a man who came by. He was in the Luganda service, the first service. He said that at 17 years, he was falsely accused of murdering his stepbrother because his stepmother wanted to get rid of him. So the stepmother hid his stepbrother and accused him of murdering him. And he has been in prison for 20 years, since 1994. In fact, he got convicted, pronounced guilty, and condemned. He waited to be killed for 5 years in the Luzira Upper Prison, condemned section. He said while he was there, he tried to kill himself because he knew he was innocent, but there was nothing that he could use to kill himself. He lived in isolation in a dark room that would get him out of the cell for just about 5 to 10 minutes to see the sun and be locked up again. Finally, truth was, he did not commit the crime. And more investigations proved his innocence, so he was released December last year. And he went to face his stepmother, the one who had falsely accused him. And the woman was so shocked this guy was still alive. She was expecting he must have been killed. And he greeted her, and she ran into the house to hide. So I asked him, so how did you handle the pain from the past, knowing you're innocent, and that she had just framed you up? He said God intended it for evil, Satan intended it for evil, but God purposed it for good. I forgave her. That is a man who has been healed from a painful past, and he holds nothing against his false accuser. Remember what Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. A lot of people struggle with anger, and Peter is basically dealing with their history, right? He's telling them things in the past, and he's like, you know what, you need to be freed from the baggage of the past. A lot of things can happen in our mind because of our previous past, because of our history, that hinders us from moving on. I know a person who literally lost her mind because a boyfriend disappointed her. A person like that needs to be healed in their mind to know that, you know what? Fine, he disappointed you, but there is hope in the future. God may have something way better for you. There are people who get so disappointed with anything, with their failures, with their guilt, with their past, and they're angry and they're bitter. And tell you what, God is here to heal. He can heal our minds, he can heal our hearts, he can forgive us, he can cleanse all that. That's why he died on the cross. There are people who deal with so much shame from the past. That's why Jesus died. He died to take our shame. I remember when I was a young Christian, I was very angry with my family because they were so unfair. When my dad passed, you know, they were just quarreling over his wealth. And I remember going to a church, and it was about bitterness and anger and something similar. And tell you what, I ran so quick to talk to somebody about it, and I left completely freed, completely freed. I could, once again, love my family, even when I knew that they had done something totally unfair to me. I forgave them, and I was free. This is the same call Peter is making. Be freed from your past. You killed Jesus, yes. You're guilty, yes. You did it out of anger, yes. You did it out of ignorance, yes. You committed so many mistakes, yes. God can blot that out. Hosea told the Jews in chapter 6, Hosea, the first 3 verses, he says, come, and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has stricken us, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. He says, let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Hosea told the Jews, and is telling all of us, let us return to the Lord. There is pain in the past. There is whatever it is. You can mention it. He will heal us. We've been stricken. We've been hurt. He will bind us up. The psalmist cried in Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord, my God, I cry to you. and you healed me. We can cry to the Lord and he will heal us. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14, Jeremiah said, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." We sang that song, "You are my healer." And in Acts chapter 3, we see God doing something amazing. He heals. He still heals today. He's a healer. He's never left that business. And we can stretch out our hand, just like Peter said, get up and walk. You can get up and walk again. Let's not be crippled with our past. And maybe we have some physical things that we ask God for healing, please. Peter said, it is Jesus who has done this. And it's Jesus who will do it. We see in Acts 3 that the Jews needed a different healing, not physical healing. They needed spiritual healing. They needed forgiveness. They needed a new life. They needed a new beginning. And Jesus offers that to this day. Amen. Let's stand and pray.